Welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Here's a clip from NHK World Japanese Television, March 14th.
Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edano says the fire at the fourth reactor of the Fukushima No. 1 plant may have caused the increase in radioactivity around the plant. Edano said the number 4 reactor was not operating when the quake struck, and that nuclear fuel rods does not ignite by itself. He said spent nuclear fuel stored inside the reactor probably got hot and generated hydrogen, which exploded. He said the number 4 reactor is no longer contained by a building, and the fire must be put out to stop the release of radioactive materials.
And finally, the next day, with the fire still raging at the Reactor 4 spent fuel pond on the 15th, along with an open-to-the-sky bonfire of the spent fuel of Reactor 3 next door.
Now, at the stricken Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, Japanese police will try spraying water from outside the quake-crippled reactor building to cool down its storage pool for nuclear fuel. The task force says it's crucial to restore the cooling systems as soon as possible to stop the radioactive leakage. An explosion occurred at the number 4 reactor building on Tuesday. Japan's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency cites a possible hydrogen explosion. The pool for spent nuclear fuel in the building is more likely to heat up since it contains a larger number of rods than usual, a full bundle. Work had previously been underway there to renovate the equipment for the reactor. A government task force dealing with the nuclear crisis says if these conditions should continue, fuel rods would likely be exposed above the water surface and be damaged. This could release a massive amount of radiation into the atmosphere. The task force says a Tokyo Police Riot Squad will dispatch water cannon trucks to spray water into the pools on Thursday morning. On Wednesday, white plumes were seen rising from near the number 3 reactor building at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. Tokyo Electric Power Company says water in a storage pool for spent fuel evaporated to form the vapor, as a cooling system there has not been working since the quake. In the number 5 and 6 reactor buildings, temperatures of the storage pools are also rising. The two reactors were not operating as scheduled inspections were taking place when the quake struck. The power company says these pools should also be cooled down to prevent them from developing into a serious problem.
There are repeated stories that raw fuel rods littered the reactor plant site, preventing human access to at least the Reactor 3 building, with an almost eerie silence about what was going on in Reactor 4. Here is just one story from the pile, NHK World, April 9th, when areas of the plant could not be reached by anything human.
Over to Japan now, where new pictures have emerged of tsunami waves hitting the Fukushima nuclear power station last month. Its operators are about to fly an unmanned helicopter over the reactors to see how badly damaged they are. Well, let's cross now to our correspondent Margaret Ortigas, who joins us now live from Mizusawa. Margaret, good to have you with us. Just bring us up to speed on the situation of the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant.
As you mentioned, indeed, work continues, and that unmanned helicopter is going to help them see exactly how bad the extent of the damage is in the hard-to-reach places, as there are still places that the workers haven't been able to physically get to for fear of being exposed to higher levels of radiation. But aside from that unmanned chopper, they are also expecting to get any day now, it's already on its way, two huge pumps that are being delivered here by a Russian cargo jet from the United States. They're about 86,000 kilos in weight, and they're meant to be able to pour large amounts of water in one go from very far distances to the areas, again, of the plant that have as yet been difficult to reach. And it should make the effort to try to cool the nuclear reactors a little easier on the workers. But aside from that, there is also still the problem of storing all the contaminated water after it's been poured onto those nuclear reactors. And there is a huge floating storage vessel that is also on its way to Fukushima as we speak. It's being refitted already, as we understand, at the Yokohama port.
Now, on the subject of deaths and injuries, three people are admitted dead. Two of the bodies were missing for over 2 weeks and finally retrieved from a reactor building, or was it a tunnel? TEPCO and the government say they died in the tsunami or earthquake. Of course, their bodies were highly radioactive. Do we have to take the authorities' word for how they died? About 29 others were injured, some of them due to radioactivity. At least a dozen people at Fukushima received, at a minimum, a lifetime dose of radiation, although we are not told how much. Let's listen to this informative report from NHK World April 11th. We also learn an emergency response crew was cut off from Tokyo at the start of the accident, plus the Japanese TV saying massive amounts of radiation have been released.
And last week on Friday, there was a question raised during a news conference about the nuclear power plant's injuries, about the management of radiation of the workers there. So now I would like to report on that. In the nuclear power plant, about injuries or deaths there, as of April 10th, there were three deaths that occurred on the day of the earthquake. Two were missing at the point of the earthquake, and they were later found dead as a result of the tsunami later on. And at the Fukushima Daiichi power plant, one person died as a result of being crushed under a crane that collapsed. So these are the three deaths related to the nuclear power plants. So I would like to extend my condolences to those deaths as well. As for injuries, as of April 10th, 29 people have been injured. TEPCO workers, 12 of them at Fukushima Daiichi and 2 at Fukushima Daini, altogether 14. And 6 of them were injured right after the earthquake, meaning that the 8 have been injured in the following recovery operations. And 11 at Fukushima Daiichi, 1 at the time of the earthquake, meaning that 10 were injured in the recovery efforts. As of the SCF, 4 people were injured. And lastly, the radiation management situation.
Similarly, as of the 10th of April, those people that were exceeded 1,000 millisieverts, 18 of the TEPCO, and 3 people of the affiliated companies, and therefore that there are 21 people are exposed more than 1,000 millisieverts. And 250 millisievert is at the level limit of the current workers that are engaged in millisieverts. 21 exceeding 1,000, and those people that are exceeding 250, none.
Now, Japan's Nuclear Safety Agency will raise the crisis level at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant from 5 to 7, the worst on the international scale. The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency made the decision on Monday. It says the damaged facility has been releasing a massive amount of radioactive substances, which is a threat to human health and the environment over a wide area.
Despite those published reports of injuries, the head of NISA, the Nuclear Information and Safety Agency in Japan, says there has been no direct impact on human health. What an incredible statement, as hundreds of thousands of Japanese have been irradiated by radioactive food, water, or directly through the air, with known consequences for the future. NHK World quoting the head of NISA as he explains away the disasters being much less than Chernobyl, and he makes this historic statement on April 12th.
Welcome to Newsline. I'm Michio Kijima in Tokyo with the news at this hour. The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency said on Tuesday that the damaged plant released a massive amount of radioactive material, but it is 1/10 of the volume released in the Chernobyl accident. Japan's Nuclear Safety Commission said much of the radiation was released during the 2 days after the suppression pool connected to the number 2 reactor began showing problems at 6 a.m. on March 15th. The commission said that the radiation is still escaping from the plant and the amount is rising marginally, but the volume has dropped considerably since the crisis began.
Unlike Chernobyl, we have been able to come this far without causing any direct harm to human health. The nuclear accident itself is very large, but we will continue our efforts to resolve the situation giving top priority to keep people safe from health hazards.
But we are speaking about a problem that will last us the rest of the century. Sean Burney, an independent nuclear consultant from Scotland, told Russia Today TV on April 4th, 25 years after Chernobyl, they're still struggling with contamination on the site and the threat of further releases. Fukushima is 3 reactors and many, many more tons of spent fuel than is contained in Chernobyl.
Well, it's the radioactive song. It's where to feel alone. With eyes like glittering holes. My headaches from contaminated ham and eggs and cheese. Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant did it to you too.
So this is an issue we're going to be talking about probably for the rest of the century and beyond, end quote from Sean Burney. In another paper, Thinking the Unthinkable, Japanese Nuclear Power and Proliferation in East Asia, Sean and co-author Frank Barnaby suggest Japan has used its nuclear power industry to create all the necessary materials for a nuclear bomb that could be made very quickly. Japan is, they suggest, a de facto nuclear state, which would not be surprising considering North Korea has threatened to send a nuclear missile to Japan while testing just such a missile in the Sea of Japan, and think of all the possible threats from China or even Russia. Find that link in my blog and a link to an even greater conspiracy theory to use this nuclear disaster to unseat Prime Minister Naoto Kan and reseat the former Liberal Party who created the nuclear system. The article by Yuichi Shimatsu, published at globalresearch.ca, is wild but still plausible. Published April 13th, the title is Secret Weapons Program Inside Fukushima Nuclear Plant? U.S.-Japan Security Treaty Fatally Delayed Nuclear Workers Fight Against Meltdown. Like most people so far in Fukushima, I no longer know what is true. These internal struggles may explain the constant contradictions in the media from various agencies in TEPCO. For example, that Level 7 announcement was announced and then withdrawn and then announced again. See my blog link at ecoshock.info for the related April 11th story, TEPCO Tardy on End Plant Emergency, by Yomiuri Shinbun, the Japanese newspaper. In it, the Japanese Prime Minister was reportedly unable to control TEPCO, the nuclear utility owner of Fukushima. The utility company delay may have caused the first hydrogen explosion at Reactor 1, but TEPCO later blamed the Prime Minister himself, saying they had to wait for his flyover. It sounds like atomic court intrigue, a battle royal behind the scenes in Japan with impacts on the unfolding disaster, the people of Japan, and all of us. And there's another kind of conspiracy swirling around the damaged planet. Nuclear industrial titans with their political allies in tow, nations and campaign contributions, they want the new nuclear renaissance, gazillions of dollars to clean up the mess they made. The partnership that built Fukushima, Hitachi and General Electric, have sent in a plan to dismantle Fukushima 1. Their partners are the usual suspects: American nuke giant Exelon, Obama's campaign funder, and mega project specialist Bechtel Corp. The prize? More than ₥1 trillion, at least $12 billion, with another $20 or $30 billion in cost overruns, I suggest, in a new supercontract lasting decades, disaster capitalism at its best. I doubt if any of these companies will still be there in decades. Maybe that is one of the reasons why CEO Jeff Immelt went to Japan after the accident. Was he doing some deals? The first foreign dignitary guest was French President Sarkozy. Is it coincidence his national company Areva is hooking up with nuclear supplier Toshiba to put in a rival bid for this endless pot of gold? Read all about it in the article Hitachi GE Submit Plan to Dismantle Fukushima Nuclear Plant by Mariko Yasu and Maki Shiraki in Bloomberg April 12th. If we can't make money building them, will profit from the disaster. On Monday 11th, 3 new earthquakes rattled Japan again, some of them serious. TEPCO reported power was cut and cooling stopped at Fukushima for 50 minutes. One spokesman, Mr. Iguchi, told the Wall Street Journal there was a high risk of flare-up. Temperatures and pressure levels in Reactor 1 remain high. Two-thirds of the fuel core is exposed to air with no cooling. Iguchi said, quote, "There could easily be more melting of the core," end quote. In the newspaper Japan Today, April 12th, a TEPCO official said, quote, "The radiation leak has not stopped completely, and our concern is that the amount of leakage could eventually reach that of Chernobyl or exceed it." Here's a brief USA update. In California, one of the worst and most prone quake plants, the Diablo Canyon reactors featured 2 weeks ago on Radio EcoShock, have withdrawn their application for relicensing. The owner, PG&E, has finally given in to public demands for new seismic risk testing. Fukushima did what years of court battles and protests could not. To get more news about the impact on the United States, visit the blog of NewsHound Alexander Higgins. He discovered EPA charts showing milk samples in Hawaii 800% above the federal limits for cesium-134 in drinking water. It's just below the federal drinking water limit in milk found in Los Angeles and shows up as far away as dairy cows in Montpelier, Vermont and Spokane, Washington. Find that at blog.alexanderhiggins.com. He has links to the original EPA charts and many other radioactive rabbit holes. This week's worst reactor of the week has to be San Onofre in Southern California. It's right on two earthquake fault lines and right down by the sea, waiting to be swept away by a tsunami. We get more from the surfer's friend, longtime anti-nuke and media activist, Ace Hoffman. Can you just tell me about the weather for a second while I set your sound levels?
Okay, well, the weather here is nice and sunny, actually, with a slight chance of cesium.
I wish you hadn't said that. Our guest from California has been warning of a Fukushima-type disaster for, well, too long. Ace Hoffman, when did you start putting out nuclear warnings?
Oh, gee, around Three Mile Island, I sent out something. I sent out a comedy routine to Dr. Demento, which was again played last Saturday.
What sort of comedy could you find out of Three Mile Island?
There wasn't much, but there were a lot of statements that were contradictory, that were minimalizations of what was really going on.
Well, that's exactly what's happening now. I mean, look, there was one plant in northern Japan, not the famous Fukushima one, another one, and they were hit by an earthquake again. The power went out again, and when they went to start up their backup reactors, two of them were out for service. Well, who knew that you'd need those a month after one of the worst nuclear disasters? And the third one starts springing an oil leak and didn't work either. So, you know, a month, it sounds like the clowns are running the scene there. I just don't know what to think.
I think, how are they doing it at my local nuclear power plant? Because that's really the question everyone should be asking.
And what is your local plant?
My local plant is San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, where they're doing everything wrong, just like they are at Fukushima. They're rated the lowest, the worst in terms of manpower. I forget the exact wording, but their manpower, morale, their willingness to bring forward problems because they're afraid of retaliation from management. Every problem like that, they've got, you know, fudging the records, not making the records, not making the rounds. Everything they can do wrong, they do wrong. They've been lucky, I guess, because we haven't had a meltdown here, but one could start tomorrow.
Now, the tsunami that hit the Fukushima reactors was 15 meters. That's about 48 feet high. So how would the San Onofre nuclear plant in Southern California handle that one?
The LA Times says that the seawall is 25 feet high. The reactor owners are saying it's 30 feet high. So either one, we're pretty well sunk. And don't forget that the height of the wave, one wave piles up on top of another. So you could have 60, 70, 80 feet worth of water from 45-foot waves.
Well, so the U.S. has a nuclear safety strategy just about the same as Japan, namely, we'll run these old reactors as long as we can until something really bad happens. Is that the plan?
That's exactly the plan. I can't find any flaw in your analysis. Every reactor that has wanted a license has gotten one. The only times they don't give licenses is when the reactors decide that they're not able to operate at a cost-effective manner. then they don't apply for a license, and then they get shut down. And so a few dozen reactors have been shut down in America. But no reactor that wants to stay open because they're making money hand over fist has been shut down because it's ridiculous and dangerous, and why would anyone do a thing like this? I mean, if that were the criteria, all of the Mark I BWRs would surely have been shut down in the last month. Isn't there anything? I mean, what limit is there?
Well, I don't know. Let's say 19 out of 20 blow up. Would we close the 20th one?
Well, that's certainly a hypothetical.
Maybe not. We've just seen three or four blow up in Japan.
I don't know if we'll get that far without having shut down. I do think it's interesting that Germany has decided to close all their nuke plants in 8 years, I think it is. And eight of them, or seven, they closed right away, and they may never reopen those after Fukushima. So they seem to have a much more logical plan than the rest of us. And it's still, in my opinion, not good enough. But I do wonder how much of it was because if they didn't do that, they were already having hundreds of thousands of people protesting nuclear power. And it was just, it's hopeless in that country. In America, and I don't know how bad it is in Canada, but here, apathy is the, you know, it's going to win out over every attempt any activist has made. For the last 50 years, apathy has won out. It's not going to change.
Well, hear me out. I think I've got an idea for a possible protest here. I think what we need to do is to start cooling down San Onofre and that other earthquake baby, the Diablo Canyon reactors. We should start cooling them down with water right now, so we'll be ahead of the game when the accident happens. So I was thinking if we could get a fireboat or some kind of pump and hose going on San Onofre. I guess the Coast Guard would shoo you away, but maybe we could get all those kids with those fancy water guns, you know, out there coming to the reactor to spray it down. It's their future, their chromosomes, you know. What do you think?
Well, it's pretty much being sprayed down constantly. Millions of gallons every minute are run through these reactors. And the water comes out slightly radioactive. What happened at Fukushima was that they stopped cooling the reactors down because they ran out of power and they couldn't restart the equipment because it had gotten flooded out. And one thing after another, the batteries went dead. Next thing you know, the residual heat that is constantly being produced in the reactor, once you've gone critical, melted the reactor down. So right now we have reactors that are going critical. They're just not doing so excessively, but they're in a constant state of criticality, and they're producing enormous amounts of heat, and they're being cooled by enormous amounts of water. All it takes is a little change in the equation, and suddenly you've got Fukushima here.
Well, you know, we've got a great early warning system. Here in Canada, the government announced that it would not test the milk, even though they found radioactivity in milk, but they weren't going to test it. And, well, RadNet in the States from the EPA, it only took about a month for them to release the fact that they found some uranium-234 and all sorts of other nasty things in small amounts, they say. No harm, no harm. In the States, how do you like your early warning system? Does it make you feel comfy?
Well, half of them don't work. Here in California, and it's only, I think, 14 altogether air testing sites on the West Coast, EPA air testing sites. And the amount of, you know, what testing is going on is spot testing. They're not making a routine test of everywhere that it's rained, every gallon of milk, you know, every farm, every county. None of that's happening. We're just doing some spot checking.
Well, I heard they took away 11 of the monitors right there in Southern California where you've got those dangerous reactors. They said the readings were too high or maybe they didn't work properly, but they took away some, and so you've got less already.
Yeah, they wanted to clean them or something.
Well, it's a good time to do it. You know, I should be without passion on this. I should be listening just to the science, I'm told. A couple of my pro-nuke people write me emails, oh, you should get back to the science, Alex. But I got to tell you, Ace, I am angry. I've just heard so many lies from the governments, from the nuclear lobby, and nobody was hurt at Chernobyl, they tell me. And then the Japanese minister, Adano, says no one's health has been hurt there either. My head hurts just trying to breathe through this information smog. How are you managing with that?
Well, it was decades ago that the scientific community agreed that the radiation has no threshold and that it's linear. Now, some people feel that it's worse than linear, and certainly there's an argument that particles of radiation embedded in your lungs is not the same as sunshine coming down on your, you know, dead layer of skin and your hair, which is counted as background radiation. So what's coming out of Fukushima is very, very dangerous. And we've known this forever, for decades and decades. As long as many people have been alive who are now in the industry, they should have known better. But instead, they still think a little radiation is good for you. I can't believe that we have to separate ourselves into those who think a little radiation is good for you and those who don't. But maybe, you know, instead of Democrats and Republicans and environmentalists and capitalists or whatever, we should realize that we've got a fundamental problem here. That some people just don't believe that radiation hurts you, and they're the ones that are in charge of poisoning all of us. The system can't be right. The theory can't be right. Nothing's right. I feel pretty bad.
Yeah, me too. You know, I can tell you that I actually interviewed uranium miners. This was back in the early 80s, who told me that uranium was good for them and that they'd just stick their little cups from their thermos down into some radioactive water and drink it for fun. And but a few years later, I wrote their obituaries because they died of various types of cancer. So I think I know where I stand on it. Is there another story you'd like to tell us?
Well, there's so many different cures for radiation. In Russia, they think that red wine might solve the problem, and everybody thinks that Ki is going to solve the problem. But Ki only blocks radioactive iodine. It doesn't block the cesium or the strontium or the tritium or anything else, the plutonium or the uranium. So I guess the only thing I would really like to make sure people understand is that these poisons that are coming out of those reactors and are continuing to come out of those reactors, every single reactor can do that in a heartbeat. No matter what they tell you about how better their system is, it's not true. These were perfectly good systems run by perfectly good people, or so they thought.
And it went really wrong. This is Radio EcoShock. We've been talking with Ace Hoffman, an activist who's been warning us about nuclear blowouts for years. Find his blog at acehoffman.blogspot.com. And his YouTube video channel is just Ace Hoffman with two Fs. Thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith. Find this interview as a free MP3 and lots more at ecoshock.org. Meanwhile, the island of Japan feels more like a ship in rough seas than any sort of land at all, with hundreds of aftershocks at levels called major earthquakes anywhere else, with food and power shortages, regular life breaking down, fear for mothers, fear for parents, children afraid, a historic loss. I join you in sending my condolences not just for the tens of thousands who lost their lives, but the millions of citizens who must say a sad goodbye to the innocence of the old Japan, now passing into something new and unrecognizable. You and I will be passing there shortly. My thanks to all listeners who sent in links, especially Carolyn Baker with her fine news service. Hear another new Fukushima song, After the 9.0 by Vastman at soundclick.com. This week you heard music clips from the new song Talking Endgame, It's the Radioactive Song by Dylan tribute artist Michelle Montecrosa. Find it on YouTube or use the link in my blog at ecoshock.info. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Radio EcoShock. Find links for this program, Fukushima Nuclear Mutiny, in my blog at ecoshock.info. Get tons of free audio MP3 downloads at our website, ecoshock.org. Until next week.